what, Becky? I used to think that you were just this pathetic coward that would go at all costs to avoid me. But obviously that's not the case, because that would imply that you're actually clever enough to formulate a plan. But when we faced each other in Glasgow, Becky, you escaped with that title just because of dumb Irish luck. And if it weren't for that blind referee not seeing my foot on the rope, I would be SmackDown Women's Champion. And the WWE Universe agrees with me. I mean... yeah, that's why I call you guys a big pile of bricks.
I just figured it out. Oh, yes. Yes, I just figured it out. You remind me of my cousin Nee. Yep, you're both blonde, you both have an unhealthy obsession with glitter, and you both cry and moan whenever you don't get your own way. But Nee is 4 years old. What's your excuse?
And welcome to episode 113 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. But you already knew that. On this episode, the Not-So-Knockout news is back. We'll have our picks for WWE TLC. We've got at least one email and various other bits to chat about as well. But let's see who we've got on the panel this week. This man hasn't been on for a while due to stupid reasons like, I don't know, work. It's PK. Welcome back.
I know, far too long. Glad to be back on.
Well, I'm glad your work's let you off for the night.
Me too, trust me.
Yeah, well, okay, well, make the most of you being here this week. I don't know if we're going to get you the next few weeks, see how your work goes, but we'll fingers crossed on that one. Let's see who else we have. And it's a man who always claims he's very busy, but we know better. I know what he's really up to. It's Kai.
Well, even when I'm massively busy, I still end up finding time for this show.
And I do things to do you a favour and save you a bit of time and effort, and all you do is accuse me of firing you.
Yep, I've been fired from the Not So Knockout News. That's been my baby since I took it over from Ant many, many years ago. I've just been informed that best of luck in my future endeavours.
And let's see who... I was going to say, we've not done a proper Not So Knockout News for weeks. So I thought, obviously, we've all got too much on our hands. And it has been quite obvious that that's the case. So I would reach out, speak to one of our friends in the wider world, and see if they could help us out for the next while widening the news each week. And they've said yes.
I don't know who it is, but they're a bastard.
Well, I'll cover that when we get to that segment of the show. But for now, I'm going to leave you in limbo, not knowing who it's going to be. And for the benefit of you listening, there may be some additional background noise going on here, some ambient effects being added to the show unnecessarily. There's work being done on the building that I'm in, and I just have to get on and do the best I can with that going on in the background. That aside, let's get into the guts of the show. We've got an email that's come in. If you want to email the show, please do eurouppercut@gmail.com. You can message us on Facebook, facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. Or, of course, you can always get a hold of us on Twitter @TheEUPod. This email comes to us from Mr. Forfro, and it goes like this. Hello all, Mr. Forfro back again. With the Thanksgiving holiday in the USA now just passing us by, I thought it'd be a little hashtag heel and air some of my pet peeves in the world of wrestling. The biggest one I have is when people attend a live event, whether it's WWE, Impact Wrestling, aka TNA, I'm still hoping for a rebranding January the 1st, or a local promotion, to wear a shirt of a wrestler or wrestler not in that company. Also, wearing a sports team of what city the promotion is in, or even worse, the rival of that city. I always wear my WWE logoed and branded baseball jersey, and from a local promotion, their logoed shirt. So what about you all? Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the expensive seats, but from the fourth row. And in a follow-up email, he also said, just listen to the Who Am I segment. My favourite TNA wrestler, Sharkboy. Shame on Kai for getting it wrong.
Yes, we've talked about this on Twitter.
Kai.
It is.
Yeah, you know now, we can put that one behind us.
I did know who it was. I knew the answer to the question. I just couldn't remember
his
name.
You didn't know his name. But anyway, let's get into the...
I wish that's how it worked with my dissertation. I know the answer. I just can't put it on paper.
Yeah, you know, the one. You know, thingy me bob. Anyway, let's just get into his question. He's talking about his pet peeves. His one that he's brought up is folk wearing clothing or branding merchandise for something other than that they're attending. First of all, Kai, do you have any issue with folk wearing, for example, an Impact Wrestling shirt at a WWE event or anything along those lines?
I'm not sure. It's a little bit strange, but then again, you know, like you said, with football shirts, you'll walk around other cities wearing those. You know, I walk around Lincoln wearing... I walked around Lincoln wearing a Huddersfield Town shirt, and I was told by pretty much... And I've been told by every taxi driver since that who recognises my accent that it's Huddersfield's fault that Lincoln City are no longer in the... in one of the better divisions because they were basically knocked out by Huddersfield 15 years ago. So I guess if you do turn up to a WWE event wearing a TNA shirt, do expect some stick, but I think there's always going to be some twat will do it.
I mean, personally, PK, I wouldn't expect someone to turn up at a football match wearing an Arsenal shirt if they weren't watching Arsenal.
No, and to be honest, but it doesn't really bother me on the wrestling side of things. Like I say, I work for several promotions and you see people there with all types of T-shirts on. But the wrestlers who work on those shows still sell a good amount of T-shirts. And I come from it from a slightly different point of view because I'm a bigger guy. A lot of promotions don't do T-shirts in my size. So I'm very quite selective. Like I've got a Chris Brooks t-shirt and a Tyler Bate t-shirt and a Clint Margera shirt, which I tend to wear for a lot of Fight Club Pro shows. But that's about as close as I can get because the main Fight Club Pro stuff doesn't go to my size, even though I help them out and work for them. So it doesn't really bother me too much, but I can see where he's coming from, cause especially if in like a really charged atmosphere, then people can take it too far and people could get offended, but it's wrestling, it's supposed to be fun.
Yep, absolutely. Now let's find out about your pet peeves, guys. I'm going to start with PK. Something in wrestling that just pisses you off?
Where people who would rather tweet about a show than actually watch what's going on. Let's put it this way, a Fight Club Pro at the weekend, there was a genuine match of the year between Trent Seven and Travis Banks. Absolutely amazing match. And half the match, I can see people on the phones. It's like, watch it. Tweet about it afterwards. People, I don't expect you to tweet 24/7. If you've already put up a tweet saying you're at Fight Club Pro and you're enjoying yourself or whatever, then people know to expect to tweet 11:30, 12 o'clock when the show's finished. That's one of my pet peeves, I'll be honest.
Okay, over to you, Kai. What's a pet peeve?
It's funny that he says that because mine's sort of on the same level when it comes to using mobile phones, and that's people who film it, who will film like full matches and stuff like that. Because I sit there and I go, when I went to the WWE event last year, I took one photo during the entire, when the show was taking place. I took I took a video, and that was for Bray Wyatt's entrance, I took a photo of it because it had all the lights up, and I thought that looked amazing, and that's why I wanted to do it. But then again, I sat there the next time and went, I'm not taking a video or photo of this, I'm just going to be involved, because I sat there and I went, I've never even watched back that video. And I don't think anyone watches back their own personalised video. They'll go online and try to find someone who's done a better quality video of theirs. And why watch it through a little screen when you can be sat there and enjoy it in person? It's as someone who is, you know, doing a drama degree, training as an actor as well, we find that with theatre audiences as well, because it's sort of been kept out of the theatre, has the use of mobile phones and filming sections, because you want to be immersed in the atmosphere. And as someone who's doing wrestling for their dissertation, you know, you've got to treat it like a theatre performance.
Absolutely. I get where you're coming from on that. And it's, you know, it's that simple way, It's a simple logic of you're there to get invested in an event, so why dilute it by tweeting or by, you know, watching it through your phone and being distracted from the action because you're too busy trying to make sure you're focusing in on the right part of the arena at the time. It's just all these different distractions just take away from your actual enjoyment. So I totally get you both on that. I've got two in one, and they both happened while I was at Raw a few weeks ago. First one, this was the couple in the row in front of me. The girl just kept using her phone all the way through the show. Shut up and put it down. There's no need to get on your phone during an event, whether it's a concert, whether it's a wrestling event, or whether it's even a football match or anything. You don't need to be on your phone just now. Put it away. You can do your calls later. And then the other one was from the row behind me, where there was a running commentary all the way through and folk explaining to other people about what's been happening and who this guy is and where this guy fits into it. It's like, just shush and watch and explain it all later. You know, just, you're distracting me. You're distracting the other folk around you. Just watch the thing and get on with it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Like, we had I've been with shows with friends who've been guilty of doing the commentary all the way through a show, and I've had to tell them to pack it and name your friends, never mind complete strangers.
Yep, absolutely. And it's just like, you know, I'm trying to watch this, not hear you.
Which winds me up was people being overly smarky, thinking they're dead clever and we're dead witty, but they're really not. As an example, I went to PCW, one of the last times I went to PCW, to see Jushin Liger, because I've never seen Liger live.
Just to check, you don't mean PC World, don't you? You don't mean PC World.
No. Preston City Wrestling. Yeah. But I went to see them because Jushin Liger was on against Martin Kirby. I thought, yeah, really need to go and see that match. And the whole match behind me in the corner is some dickhead going, I bet he's not even Japanese. I bet he's from Wigan down the road and he's just wearing a mask. It's like, the guy's a fucking legend who invented half the moves that you pop for. Shut the fuck up and watch.
Yep, absolutely.
This is exactly what I put on the chat screen a second ago. I've got another one, and that was going to be my next one, which was, my pet peeve is like 99% of wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Just by the fact that, and I'm not saying that I'm better than them in any way. We're not saying that we are better than them in any way. It's just, I think just fans have their own sense of what we like to do, and others will have other ways of enjoying an experience. And I will sit there and I'll go, But I will still sit there and go, that is the wrong way to enjoy that experience. You were just shut up, watch the show, and just enjoy yourself. And I tell you one thing is as well, and I had this problem the very first time I went to, and I've done it myself. The very first time I went to a Fight Factory wrestling event, actually, it was my first time going to see an indie promotion, and I sat there and I went, and it's a very family-friendly atmosphere at the Fight Factory Wrestling event. And the very first time I went there, I think I was sat there going, some of this stuff is quite the child-based humour on some of their matches. And then I sat there the next time and I went, you know what? Just get involved. Be the loud one. Be the one that's over the top. Enjoy yourself. Be that child. You know, just invest in it, immerse yourself in it, or else if you sit there and try and go, well, I'm smarter than this, then you're going to be disappointed and you're not going to enjoy it as much.
Yeah, and what's the point of you really being there if you're not going to get invested and enjoy it properly?
Yeah.
So there you go, Mr. Forfrot, a whole bunch of peeves for you to take on board. So we hope you like those. And if anyone else has any pet peeves they want to share with us, send them in via email, eurouppercut@gmail.com, over Facebook, facebook.com/EuropeanUppercutPodcast, or as always on Twitter @TheEUPod.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Now, I did mention in the intro to the show that we are bringing back the Not So Knockout News in its proper form, and I reached out to one of our friends to put that together for us, and that man is none other than Aquil. You'll see when I play this.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to this week's Not So Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. WWE looks set to go full steam ahead with an all-women's tournament for the WWE Network in early 2017, according to PW Insider. The tournament looks to include a mix of women stars from NXT and outside the WWE. Yeah, because that's what we need, more women wrestlers that WWE don't do anything with. It's now official that Brock Lesnar will join Bill Goldberg and 28 other superstars in the 30-man Royal Rumble main event in January. WWE has not confirmed an injury, but apparently Lesnar suffered cracked ribs after taking the first spear from Goldberg in the Survivor Series match. Does anyone else remember a time when wrestlers had to qualify to get in the Rumble? Now you don't even have to ask. Maybe I should enter too. WWE officials have given serious consideration to doing The Undertaker versus WWE World Champion AJ Styles at January's Royal Rumble pay-per-view from the Alamo Dome, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. That sounds almost as bad as having Living Legend win the AWWIR title. Oh wait, yeah, that happened. Last Thursday's TNA Impact Wrestling drew its lowest viewership since going to Spike TV in 2005. The low viewer numbers is apparently due to being US Thanksgiving, and not a lack of interesting storylines and decent wrestlers, as most suspect. And finally, in birthday news, for November 29th, JBL turns 50, Dana Brooke was 28, and Jerry Lawler turned 67, which makes the age gap between him and his girlfriend a whopping 40 years, and I don't know whether to applaud him or vomit.
Happy birthday to you!
And that's all for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Damn! So I'd kind of like to thank GBL for putting that together, but after the cheap jive that was in the middle of that, maybe I shouldn't bother. Seriously, Jeeves, thank you for doing that, and I appreciate the fact you're going to be doing that ongoing for us. I know that a bit of work's involved in putting together the news, and especially trying to come up with a few funnies in there as well, so thank you for doing that for us. Few stories in there that I should quite quickly touch on, and I will come to you for the first one. PK, the women's tournament upcoming, your thoughts, a good thing or not?
Oh, definitely. Look at how well the Cruiserweight Classic went over, and especially if they end up doing it in Full Sail, which they will, the likely will. They'll get that rabid crowd, they'll bring a couple of women in from NXT, very much like the Rich Swan in the Cruiserweight Classic, to give them a boost. And a load of new people, and then some people get contracts out of it. So it's all positive as far as I can see.
And it does seem like while they've been doing tryouts, they have been given a slightly higher concentration to women of late. So, you know, it can only bode well for who they do bring in when it does kick off. And allegedly that's going to be sometime in the new year. So we'll have to wait and see what transpires. Kai, going to come to you. Taker versus AJ. Do you want to see that match? Is it worthwhile having, or is it too late for that kind of match for the Taker?
Taker versus AJ is a match that I really want to see, and I think it is going to happen. I think at Royal Rumble, that's where it's going, and I'm really, really excited about that match. AJ Styles is on a roll. He is the only way he's up, and it's going to be... I cannot wait to see it happen. I do believe it's going to happen at the Royal Rumble.
Anthony, you want to add to that, PK?
Everything AJ's touched since he's come into WWE has been gold. Yeah. And I can't see a match with The Undertaker being any different scenario-wise.
Yeah, he's really upped his game. It'd be really interesting to see him in that different predicament with the old Undertaker mind games at play, see how he responds to all that. I think it's going to be very good for him going forward. So I'm all for it. And if it's going to be the Royal Rumble, then hopefully they're going to be starting some sort of program on that sooner rather than later. Last one I want to bring up was the Brock and Goldberg both being in the Royal Rumble. Does this finish at Royal Rumble, or does this go all the way to WrestleMania? I'm going to start with PK.
They eliminate each other and it ends up at WrestleMania, as far as I can see it. But they'll have like their big moments of being strong, like Goldberg will eliminate a few, Lesnar will eliminate a few, and then they'll come face-to-face, and everyone will go fucking crazy as soon as they come face-to-face.
Yeah, I think it could be an interesting moment. And it'd be as long as they play it well, then I think it should be a great moment overall. The talk of Lesnar being injured, Kai, does that have any kind of bearing on things?
Lesnar being injured?
Yeah.
I hadn't actually heard that, but I...
I'm sure that it was in the news here, wasn't it?
I tell you what I've been doing during the news, because I thought it'd be funny to come up after the news and insult GBL with a new. So I was googling New Zealand insults, and I tell you what, the first one that comes up is beef curtains, and I'll let GBL explain that. Oh God, there's some. This is going to be my new thing every week. So yeah. Beef curtains. You're a beef curtain, GBL.
Well, there you go. I know what that means, but I'm not even going to go there. let's leave that alone, shall we?
Lesnar being injured. I hadn't heard it. I don't believe it's true. So, yeah, I think that they're both going to eliminate each other like PK said and go on to WrestleMania.
It's totally unconfirmed, so it may be just something of nothing. So I'm sure we'll find out in good time. But I think that's all we're going to need to cover on news. We're getting through this show like I don't know what, and I like it. That's what I say.
This is Scotland's cheekiest wrestler here, Jason Reid, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
So, PK, it's been a while since you've been on the show, and I'm sure you've got lots of things to update us on about what you've been up to, what you've been seeing, things you've been hearing. Start spilling the beans.
Yeah, as people will know, I am a play-by-play commentator for a company called TNT Extreme Wrestling in Liverpool.
Yep.
Before, unfortunately, had to have a bit of a hiatus due to some issues with the venue, but that is now all resolved. We've got a new venue, which we're ready to announce this coming Friday, and we've actually got the first date in the book for the 25th of February next year. So I'm back commentating. I absolutely can't wait. Ideas getting thrown around over Facebook message today has got me very excited. And put it in your diaries for a trip up to Liverpool on that date. You definitely won't be disappointed. Fight Club Pro has also wrapped up its year of shows at Infinity last week. And Hand on Heart, one of the best wrestling shows I've ever seen. From top to bottom, not a bad match on the card, and the story that's been going along all year within Fight Club Pro has involved Travis Banks, and Travis Banks has been absolutely amazing, as I've sung his praises many, many times on this podcast. But the whole point with the Savage Travis Banks story was he was always in the match of the night, but he never won. He hadn't pinned anyone. He hadn't finished a match in the winning side of the bracket in his entire time since he's come into Fight Club Pro. That all changed last week, and he actually won the Infinity to become the number one contender. And that reaction, that crowd, was the loudest I've heard in a long time. Everyone
awesome.
popping at all the right moments, really genuinely enjoying the show. And when that final pinfall landed and Travis had his hand raised, it was absolutely deafening. And it's going to take some doing for Fight Club Pro to top 2016, but 2017, I'm sure they definitely will. And on the TNT front as well, we had a meet and greet and a live podcast recording with Joseph Connors, who people may know from watching WCPW recently, as well as Southside and many, many other UK promotions. And it was a really good night, and as part of that night, I got volunteered to go into a WWE 2K17 tournament. Let's give it a go. I actually made it all the way to the final, I was happy with. I played Sami Zayn all the way to get to the final. Then as soon as I got to the final, the guy picked John Cena, which is just dead cheap. So I thought, sod it, I'm going to be just as cheap, and I picked Lesnar. After a 20-odd minute match, I just couldn't get that last kick out in, but it was a really fun night. Again, keep a lookout for them. We've got another one coming up in January with a sit-down interview with Bubblegum, Ashton Smith, and Sam Bailey, I believe it is, the Mancunian faction within TNT. They're going to be there, and we're going to have a tag team tournament in WWE 2K17. Uh-huh. Which should be very interesting. So if anyone is in the Liverpool area and fancies being in that tournament, just like the event on Facebook. You can find it by going to the TNT Extreme Wrestling page and get in touch with the promoter, Jay, and he'll be able to let you know if there's a space. And it's only £5 to get into the show, and that includes entry into the tournament as well.
Great price. How can you complain?
Definitely.
Okay, okay. Is that everything for you at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, because work's been so busy, it's just been trying to find time to go to things. Yep. But yeah, big ones, Fight Club Pro and TNT. I'm made up TNT's coming back. I've been absolutely buzzing to tell someone because I've known for a while, and it's finally been officially announced today. And now I've been given the match card as well. I really want to say some stuff, but I can't. So keep
can
a lookout.
Can you give us anything?
Media. Not without risking my job. And as always, it's card subject to change, but as the old wrestling adage goes. But yeah, as soon as things do start getting announced, I'm gonna have a chat with the promoter and see if there's any exclusives I can give away on this show as we get closer and closer to the actual event.
Excellent, that'd be good. I look forward to hearing whatever those happen to be. And Travis Banks, if you're listening to this, I want to chat to you on the show as well. So if you can hook me up on Twitter, we can have a wee interview, and that'd be great for the show. Thanks. Right, okay, now that I've got that out of the way, let's move on, and we'll start chatting in a wee minute about TLC.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a Honky Tonk Man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
Okay, so we're going to go into our picks now for the upcoming TLC event on Sunday night. We've got 6 matches announced for the card, so we'll quickly go through them and give you very brief thoughts on some of them and give you the picks for the very few picks that we can at the moment, which is basically the 3 of us and GBL. So let's go through and see what we've got. We've got a tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. We've got Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Wyatt family, in this case Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I'm still not getting this whole Randy Orton as part of the Wyatts thing, but you know, maybe it'll grow on me. I'll come to you, PK, first of all, on your thoughts on this one.
I actually think it's going to go to Bray and Randy on this one. Heath and Rhino, they're big like fairy tale of getting his job and everything. That's come and gone. They're obviously the two men left standing, in that Survivor Series match were Bray and Randy in the men's Survivor Series match. They actually seem to put a lot of faith in Bray, which I'm really glad to see. And even Randy, I'm not the biggest Randy Orton fan, but I'm really enjoying what he's doing as being like part of the Wyatt family. So I think time for a change. Give it to the Wyatts.
Okay. Kai, your thoughts?
I'm quite liking it. It's an interesting one because we're not really sure how it's going to go. I think this is a very, very slow build to a Wyatt Orton WrestleMania match, and I reckon that they're going to win the tag titles here.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, personally, I'm going the other way. I'm going Slater and Rhino, but I think if that's how it goes, that it's probably due to a DQ or something like that. So I'm seeing Slater and Rhino announced as the winner at the moment, because I don't see any point in moving the title as yet to the Wyatts. I don't see how they'd utilise that going forward. It doesn't seem to make sense in my head, but anything can happen.
I don't know,
it just doesn't seem to gel for some reason. I can't work out why. It just doesn't kind of logically click.
You know why I think it is? Why. I think why? It's because you don't know what's coming.
Funnily enough, and that's a good thing that I don't know what's coming, but at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's the fact that for once you're a little bit in the dark and going, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. So I think that's a good thing. I hope.
I mean, normally when we're thinking about these, we're thinking about some other bigger purpose further down the line that this kind of connects to. At the moment, do Wyatt and Orton need the rub of the tag team championship I don't really think so. Do Slater and Rhino need the rub of still holding on to those tag team championships and getting a second retention? Yes, they probably do, because of the two teams, those two need it more.
Or is there a bigger question here of do the tag team titles need a rub that they haven't had?
Of course, it's worth considering. And at this point, I can't really see much benefit either way. So I'm sticking with Slater and Rhino, I think.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
You know what? I'm gonna be cheeky. I'm gonna put +5 on White and Orton.
You do that.
Yeah, you're all laughing now. Next week.
Yep. Absolutely. No. You do that. Just you go away and put your +5 on. That's fine. I've got no idea where I'm going with any of these picks, let alone any bets I'm going to do yet. So.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat on that one. Might have to play it really safe, like Survivor Series again.
Okay, let's go on to our next match, and it is a TLC show. So we're going to have a chairs match, and we've got Kalisto and Baron Corbin. Obviously, this was going to be a match on this card. Chairs matches do nothing for me. I'm going to be honest. They do nothing for me. It's just another excuse to have anything goes rules, basically. If they made it that the only weapon you could use was a chair, then it would make more sense, but they never do. But anyway, that's just getting that out there. I'm going to go with Kalisto on this, because he needs a win. Corbin can attack and attack and attack as much as he likes, and that's him getting a rub just by being there and being involved in all these different matches he's been in. I don't think he needs it as much as Kalisto does. But there's not really anything to be gained from this. There's no title on the line as such or anything, is there? So it is what it is. Kai?
I'm going to go with... Oh, now this is one that I can't decide on, because I've gone with Corbin, but I think that this could be a Kalisto sort of roll-up win. I mean, he had his big moment at TLC last year, so yep. Possibly, maybe not. I'm going with Corbin.
Cool. PK?
I think I'm with you on this one. I think Kalisto finally needs to get a win. And also I'm fed up of betting on Kalisto because he always seems to lose. But I am still going to have to go for Kalisto. But Corbin's been bullying him so much. He cost him the Cruiserweight belts on the Survivor Series. Yep. He needs to get a win.
A little bit and of then
he'll lose the feud ultimately, but he needs to at least look slightly strong in it, other than just being completely whipped.
Fair enough. So you're saying the same as me. Okay. From there, then, we're going to go into the no DQ match, Nikki Bella and Carmella. Now, obviously, this has been brewing for a little while as well. To me, I have to go with Nikki Bella on this. I think probably in this case, Carmella needs it more. I see, and now I'm realizing that I'm going face so far. And the odds of that being the case are slim to none. But no, I think Nikki, because of what happened at Survivor Series, I think Nikki's going to get the win. PK?
I'm saying Carmella, but it's going to be screwy. Like, someone's going to attack Nikki and assist Carmella in getting the win. Carmella needs the rub more. Nikki's made.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, see, now you're making me rethink. Okay, I'm going to shut up and let Kai tell us his thoughts.
This is another one that I'm really, really torn on. I am going with Nikki Bella. That's what I've gone with, but I'm not putting any bets on. I can't do it there.
I'm changing to Carmella. It just does make sense that she needs the rub more. And as I say, I have been too much face. It does make sense that there's a heel win there somewhere. So that's fine. Okay, then that takes us to a ladder match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. The Miz defends against Dolph Ziggler, who wants his championship back. And I'm going to come to PK first.
I'm going to go +3 on Miz on this one.
Yeah.
I'm confident ish.
I was going to say ish.
I'm not going to go with the full 5, but
Miz, since he's had that Intercontinental belt, has been one of the highlights of SmackDown. Bringing Maryse back has been fantastic as well. And and you know it's going to be a great match, but the belt really doesn't really do anything for Ziggler.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Kai?
I'm not sure. I can't decide. Who did I go with?
You've got Ziggler on the sheet.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God. This is the end of the feud, isn't it?
Essentially, or it should be anyway.
That's what they've been billing it as.
I'm
really confused with title changes.
But then they were billing Goldberg as a one-match deal, so...
Yeah. Well, you know, once in a lifetime. I'm going
exactly what it was about to go.
Yeah. I'm going with Ziggler.
Right, okay. And I'm just thinking about this. I'm going to go Miz plus five. And just to kind of cover this, GVL is also going Miz plus five. I've not been mentioning his bets. He's got Corbin against Kalisto. He's got Nikki for the win against Carmella. He's got the Wyatts for the win against Slater and Rhino. So he's got Miz plus five as well. I've got a lot of faith in Miz. I totally agree with what you're saying, PK, on the Miz. He has been absolutely amazing for the last while, and it's great to see him getting the backing of guys like us, because for so long he's been ripped and shit on for far too long, and it's good to see him getting a bit of support and a bit of appreciation for the work he's doing. I also still respect and love the work that Ziggler does, but at this point in time, I just think it's the wrong time for him to win that back. Is there a better place for Miz, for Ziggler in the story in the roster at the moment? Probably, but I'm not sure what it is. I'd need to have a sit and evaluate of it all, but I'm not sure. Let's leave that there and move on to our next match. We've got a tables match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Becky Lynch defends against Alexa Bliss. Kai.
Hate these predictions. It's a great thing that WWE have made it so unpredictable, but I am sat here now going, who the fuck am I going to pick? I've gone with Becky Lynch, and the fact that I've just seen Legends put plus four on Becky Lynch, I want to go with Alexa Bliss. I've got a feeling they're going to go, oh God, but that'll be three title changes I've put down. Fuck. I'm going to go Alexa Bliss.
Going to go Alexa Bliss. Ooh.
Yeah, because it's a table. Becky doesn't have to be pinned to lose. But then again, it could be the other way around, that, you know, Alexa hasn't been pinned and she will complain. Ah, I'm going with Bliss.
You just said something that makes me think about this a little bit.
Like saying
the size of a three-year-old. Whereas Becky's a bit more solid and robust and would take going through a table a whole lot easier. I think it'd be quite difficult to put Bliss through a table because she's so light.
No, I don't think that that is an issue whatsoever. I think that both of them are more than capable of being put through a table and it looking good. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. But I am going with Bliss just because I think her character really needs the title right now. She is shining through.
Yeah. Does Becky lose any stature by losing the title in that case then? No? In your work case? In your thoughts?
No. If she's, she's not been pinned, which is a brilliant thing about this pay-per-view. And I think she can afford to take the loss.
Mm. Okay, PK, your thoughts?
I'm torn on this one because when you look back at like the history of tables matches, it's normally where they will give a guy a trial run, like Sheamus when he beat Cena.
I was about to say that exact scenario, yeah.
So it makes sense that they would give Alexa a go, because I thought when she got brought up, I was made up for her, but also you saw a lot of people being very negative about how. It's too soon. She needs to stay in NXT, but she's proved all them wrong in my eyes. She's been one of the shining spots on SmackDown and on Talking Smack as well. Every time she gets the chance to go off on one on a promo, she's been absolutely nailing it. But Becky hasn't really proven herself as champion either. So it also feels very soon to take the belt off Becky.
Yeah, it does a bit.
I'm going to go Becky, but I'm not going to place a bet on this one. I'm just going to say Becky. But it's a proper coin flip one for me, this.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my Becky Lynch, but I don't really believe that there's no way that Bliss can go for a TV. I was just kind of putting thoughts out in the air earlier on. But I do see what Kai's saying about how Bliss would really work well with the title at the moment, and that was where my real question mark was in it. But I'm going to stick with Becky since I've got that in there. And let's get on to our final match in the card, Tables, Ladders and Chairs match for the WWE World Championship, AJ Styles defending against Dean Ambrose. Now, I don't see Styles losing that title for love nor money, especially with the rumour that Undertaker could be having a match with him at the Royal Rumble. And there were kind of mutterings at one point that Undertaker could be getting a final title run. I find that a little bit of a stretch, but, you know, to have the title at least in that match would make a lot of sense. So I'm seeing Styles retaining, and I'm going to put a +3 on it. PK.
I agree. Styles +3, and I do think James Ellsworth is going to be involved in the end of the match, but I think it's going to backfire on Dean, and Ellsworth's going to end up actually costing him the match against AJ.
You can put a bet on that.
I'll put a +2 that Ellsworth is involved in the finish.
No, I need to get it ratified that they'll allow it, because since it's a bit vague as to which way that could be interpreted, but it should be fine. Are you saying that Ellsworth is involved in Styles winning rather than just the finish?
Yeah, due to Ellsworth's involvement, AJ will retain.
Right, okay, that's better. That's a better word, and it works a lot better. Okay, got that in. Kai?
This is my easiest pick of the night, actually. I am going with AJ Styles for the win, and I'm putting a +5 on it.
You got 5 on it?
Yep, +5.
Okay, now, GBL's got a +3 that Ellsworth gets involved in the main event. I think that's a bit of an easier bet than PK's, but I'm not sure if it'll be allowed or not, but that's not my decision to make. I will leave that up to the other guys when they see the sheet. We don't have any picks from Adam, from Kiwi, from Yalmar, or from Kata as yet from our side of things, but we need to start racking up some points pretty soon to start catching up with the WrestleCast. They're currently sitting 98 points ahead of us in the league table overall. And now that we've lost Ceramic Samurai from the sheet, which I believe is happening as of today, we're a man down for catching up with, so that should
problematic. We did have a couple of people behind anyway.
Yeah. That's very true. I mean, you're doing solid. You're sitting second.
Yeah, I lost out a little bit on the last pay-per-view weekend, but is it second at the moment?
Yeah, second at 146 points. Old school sitting top on 168.
Yeah, he opened up that gap quite a lot during the last pay-per-view. But hopefully, you know, it might be an EU win by the end of it. I'm coming for you, Mountie.
That's fighting talk right there.
And that right there, except for my being a fat child, is why I'm not a wrestler.
Clay, match you're most looking forward to, Kai?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Styles and Ambrose, I think, will be good. I'm thinking maybe, oh God, Miz and Ziggler, or it's going to be Miz and Ziggler or Lynch and Bliss.
Okay, PK, match you're most looking forward to?
Miz and Ziggler, because the last pay-per-view match they had was so good.
Yeah, I mean, Styles and Ambrose is going to be a great fun match, but for some reason Miz and Ziggler is the one that's got that little bit of flash about it for some reason.
What tarnishes Ambrose and AJ for me is the fact that it's a bit easy to predictable that it's going to be the Ellsworth show again. And he was I really liked him at first, but it's starting to get really old and samey now.
but
in your mind, where can they go with Ellsworth to make it all worthwhile that there's a payoff at the end of the whole thing?
I don't know, because when he was just a jobber and he was getting like opportunities, it was different. But now he's actually got a contract. It's there's looking at that roster. I know he's got. He's had three screwy wins over AJ Styles, which should never have happened. But looking at that roster, who could he realistically beat and it not look like a joke?
Yeah.
If he goes up against someone like Corbin, he's getting killed in 30 seconds if it's a legit fight. It's a really hard one to say where they go with him. Like, I'm really enjoying SmackDown at the minute more than Raw. But they've certainly booked themselves into a corner in a couple of places.
Yeah, I mean, both shows are doing really well at the moment. I think SmackDown is still just topping over Raw just a little bit. And part of that, I think, is the two-hour format just makes it that much more enjoyable. We're getting out of it. Where they go with Ellsworth is a big one. It's a confusing one because they need to find a way to make him work on his own somewhere down the line. And you know, he can't be involved in this title picture for much longer because it would just become too predictable, boring, folk will start shitting on it, and it'll grow old over the next, well, even the next 2 months, it'll be ridiculous and stale. I made to get rid of that. So they need to get him out of there and somehow involved in something else, and I don't know where that is. Kai, any last thoughts you want to add on this event before we move on?
No, I think it's a really solid card and I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, it's going to be a great show.
I have a feeling there's another match to be added at some point, but
no, I was going to say that. Then, what do you guys think we're going to get potentially as a new match or a pre-show match even?
Well, that's the thing. There kind of needs to be a pre-show match of some kind, but
I'm personally thinking American Alpha against the Usos, maybe.
That would make sense.
In the pre-show spot.
Because we don't have, we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 members of the roster on the card. That would get another 4 on. Or even...
Possibly going to get the Ascension or the Vaude Villains in there.
Yeah.
But, and it also sets up someone to look strong to go up against the winner of the tag match on the main show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's just move swiftly along from that and we'll get heading towards our final thoughts for this week.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it 3 times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
It's time to start having our final thoughts for this week. Any additional subjects or things we want to chat about from the world of wrestling that we haven't already hit on? And I'm going to come to PK first. Anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, I watched 205 live today and it was a really good first episode to get things moving in the right direction when it comes to the cruiserweight and trying to get them more back on track. To me, it's surprising that the division is still on Raw, yet the show 205 Live films before SmackDown. That still seems really weird to me, but it was a really good show. People have probably seen it already, but I'm not going to say the spoiler here, but the main event was a really good match between Kendrick and Swan. And they did a really good job with the videos for each person as well to try and let people get to know them before they have matches. Like they had one for Noam Dar, they had one for the Bollywood Boys, they had one for Lindsay Dorado, they had one for Swan, talking about how he lost his family when he was young and it sent him down the wrong path, but wrestling saved him, which was which padded even more drama into the main event. And Jack Gallagher made his debut, official WWE debut, in a winning effort against Daivari's brother, Aria Daivari, yeah. And again, really good match. And to hear Corey Graves in love with everything Jack was doing, as someone who's been watching in Future Shock since 2011, it was really weird to hear.
One thing, I've got a few little cruiserweight things to bring up here. Actually, the first one, interesting to see on Raw, the Pinky getting mentioned.
Yeah, the Pinky Party.
The Pinky got a mention. Why is he showing us his Pinky? We know. So that was good to see that get mentioned. Second thing was, it's great to see the Cruiserweight Championship being chatted about like it's a proper valuable asset. When it was last around, it just felt a little bit of a, it's an extra title that we're bouncing about, whereas it really feels valuable and it really feels like it's been sought after and a worthwhile title to have around your waist. Really enjoying seeing that. It's really good for the whole division. And the other last thing I was, I actually thought they were doing it after SmackDown, but it makes sense that they're recording it before SmackDown.
Because it doesn't seem like it's going out live either.
Apparently it is live, because I was reading a report saying that there was some people...
Well, I thought that was the whole point of 205 live.
Me getting muddled up then, to be fair. But
there were some people in WWE that were worried that the audience might not stick around for 205 live after SmackDown airs.
They'll
be doing it to like half an arena. But did it look quite full?
Yeah, it looked to be the same audience. There didn't look to be any sort of big gaps where people had left.
It could be live to tape.
I'm probably just getting confused because that's the way they used to do it with that sort of thing. Like they used to do NXT taped before SmackDown and then obviously put it out later. But I probably am completely wrong and I've had a very long day and I'm blaming it on that.
I mean, most certainly they were doing main event before SmackDown, and I assumed they'd still be doing main event, then doing SmackDown, then doing the 205 live.
That's changed around. Fit
the length of a Raw show.
Because main event has now been moved to Monday night, the filming that before Raw, and Superstars has been cancelled.
Well, Superstars has been cancelled?
Yeah, it was quietly cancelled yesterday.
And commentary wise, 205 live was great because you had Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves, who were the shining stars of their respective commentary teams. And then Austin Aries joined them as well. And he was really good. Especially when Jack hits his big running drop kick in the corner and gets the pin off it. He says, yeah, that looks a bit familiar. And Corey Graves goes, yeah, I could have sort of seen someone do that before. And it was just genuinely really, really good commentary. And just like the Cruiserweight Classic with Brian and Ranallo, it just adds to the product.
So let's spin this back to a conversation we had back at the news. Do we see, and I know there have been people calling for this, after the women's tournament, do we see a women's specific show being generated, or is that purely for generating more talent for the main shows?
I wouldn't like that personally. And I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, you can never say never with WWE.
No, absolutely, you can never say never. Peaky, any thoughts on it?
I think it's to try and... The women's side of things, I think it's more to try and generate talent to go to NXT.
Yeah.
Because an all-women's show, I know that obviously with how good Sasha and Charlotte's been, with how good Becky's been on SmackDown, like the women are of a much higher stature now. But there's a difference between watching Cruiserweight guys on their own hour-long show, but then you've got women on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. And if you include those plus the 205 Live, it's 7 hours of WWE programming, main programming a week. So I think it's a bit too much to start adding an hour of women's stuff as well.
That's a fair point. That's totally just a justifiable point. Okay, fair enough. I'll leave that at that. I'm going to come to mine before we go to Kai's. My one I was going to bring up, there was someone in the crowd on Raw this week holding up a sign that said Rock and Roll Express for the Hall of Fame. And I just wanted to quickly canvas your guys' opinions. Do you think this is the year that the Rock and Roll Express finally get their Hall of Fame nomination? I'm going to come to PK first.
It's due. It's definitely due. I can't even think what would be stopping them going in at this point, because they're going to start rapidly running out of old school names.
Absolutely. Kai, anything you want to throw in on this one?
Yeah, nothing else to add, really. You'd expect it to have happened by now, and I think that it will happen sooner or later. I mean, let's face it, we're going to live in a world one day where James Ellsworth will be part of the WWE Hall of Fame. So,
maybe. Not necessarily.
yes.
I mean, let's face it, they're already in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame. They've got multiple tag team championships from all around the world, from different divisions everywhere, including things like the NWA Wildside, NWA Southwest, Mid-Atlantic, Mid-South Wrestling, Jim Crockett Promotions, Korean Pro Wrestlers. There's just tons and tons of tag team accolades. No WWE tag team titles, let's be honest, but you know, it doesn't stop them officially going into the Hall of Fame because they have had such a career that's just spanned the generations, and they've been everywhere. They've been in WCW, they've been in WWF, they've been in, you know, NWA and all the rest of it. There's been everywhere. So they should justifiably be in there, and it's about bloody time. And they're always looking for a tag team to put in, so let's do it. That's what I say. Kai, your final thoughts for this week?
Yeah, my final thoughts, two positive ones, are just adding on to the chat about the Cruiserweight division. The Brian Kendrick has become, he's quickly risen up in my expectations to my top five he's in of wrestlers in the WWE. But on another note, the women's division,
five?
Who, Brian Kendrick?
Yeah. That's quite a high status.
Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying his character and the story behind it. I'm loving, and just seeing him on, like, he snapped on commentary on Monday night, and he's just there. Like, they said, "So why are you doing that?" And he just went, "Why do you think I'm doing it? I was fired 7 years ago for making mistakes, and none of you will let you know." And he went off on a massive rant, going, "No one will forgive me, and that's what we're meant to be about." And that, and just the idea that he's just a broken man who's clasping on to the final straw of his career, you can tell the genuineness in it for the most part. And also, just I'm just loving the whole deal that he's got going on. He adds a little bit to his character, and I love the entrance music as well. But my main one that I want to bring up was the women's division.
And just before you do that, one statement I want to make.
Okay.
He's still spanky to me, damn it.
But
on you go.
The women's division, absolutely on fire. I am loving every single bit of it, really. I'm loving the Nikki Bella Carmella feud on SmackDown. I think that that's been great, that they've put this long, drawn out process into it, which is going to end with it's a no disqualification match at TLC. I'm loving the fact that these matches are putting women in what were traditionally men's matches, and I'm loving the idea that now there was Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the women's championship at the end of Raw, and it was in the main event, and no one batted an eyelid to go, "Oh, wow, the women are in the main event." It was just there. And that is a huge, huge step. And that's not because it's not all down to the fact that the WWE are now accepting of women, because I don't think that was the problem necessarily. I think that was a major part of the problem. But I think it's also down to the problem of how hard the women on the roster have been working to get to that point and deserve the main event. Sasha versus Charlotte at the end of Raw, I know you've not seen it yet, Legend, is a brilliant match. And you see some spots that you've never seen from the women's division. I don't know whether you've got that far enough when they announced the match, but it's a falls count anyway match.
Yes, I've seen that.
Just seeing women fighting in the crowd is something that we've never seen before, but these two are great. I love Charlotte as well.
You know, and that, you know, expanding the type of matches that women are going into, you know, obviously we're seeing on this Sunday's TLC, that we're getting a tables match for the women as well. It's just growing and growing, the types of matches they're going for. But yeah, just to see that growth in the types of matches they're having, the amount of time they're getting, and just the general focus on the divisions on both shows is actually really good. And that obviously started in NXT, and we're seeing what they're doing down there. It's a matter of time before we see Ember Moon come up. There's still Asuka down there. You know, Ember Moon's showing some great stuff in the ring. Can't wait to see what she's got to offer in another few months' time.
Apologies.
What on earth do you think you're doing?
I dropped my iPad and I wasn't...
Do you know what I say to that? You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
You stupid idiot!
Oh, drink it in, man!
Mick Foley, what do you think of Kai right now?
You stupid idiot!
He agrees. Eli Drake, what do you reckon?
Dummy, yeah.
Am I on the list?
I think you're on the list.
Yeah,
anyway.
Don't fight for that one.
No, I'll need to get one. I need to swim and cut one. Anyway. Enough of that. I think we've covered enough this week to get rounding off this show. It's time to say goodbyes and tell people where they can find you. And I'm going to start with PK.
Yeah, PK underscore one up on Twitter. Hopefully we're recording this week for the One Up Club. One Up Club presents One Up Power Up podcast. And this week we'll be talking about games from 2001. That people would like to see remade, and it's been really fun conversations over the last few weeks, so we'll keep that going. Fight Club Pro, you can check out their on-demand service, and I highly recommend you do. It's vimeo.com/Fight Club Pro, and the shows go up, and they're only £4 a show, and they're absolutely worth every single penny of that. If you wanted to go back and check out the 3-day weekender that we did in October, that was really good. Project Mayhem 5 was fantastic. And then obviously this latest show, which is Infinity 2016, will go up at some point over the next few weeks. And I highly recommend looking out for it.
Excellent. Guy.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Kai J Valentine. You can find my radio show Squabble Box on Siren 107.3 FM every Sunday breakfast, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. And Legends on Siren FM every Monday night at 10 p.m. I'm just about to post now as we're recording this, last week's Monday's Legends, which was paying tribute to the icon that is David Bowie, with a live studio performance from a fantastic act, Martin Thomas. So if you just look one down on your feed, probably maybe two, if the Wrestlecast get in before me, you will find the recording of Legends right here on the Trending Topics Network.
On that, I noticed that Martin Thomas is following the Trending Topics Network on Twitter, so thanks for the follow, Martin. He needs to check out this show now. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. I want to start looking at who's going to be my next interview project and to get some things on the go for that. If anyone has any suggestions or thoughts, beyond Adam's suggestion of Sharp Boy, let me know. But we'll get stuff moving on that ASAP. Keep your emails coming in, europeuppercut@gmail.com. Send us your messages on Facebook, facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. Or, of course, you can tweet us at the EU Pod. Next week, we'll have, obviously, the fallout from TLC. So we look forward to coming to you with that. And there's another pay-per-view hot in the heels after that as well. So they're coming thick and fast again, you know. We'll be here with all our thoughts on everything as the weeks go by. We're back next week. Who knows who we've got on the panel? But, you know, someone will be here. Might be me, might be Kai. You know, we'll see you next week. Until then, the living legend has now left the building.